Welcome to Get Over It, Intuitive Transformation Radio for Exceptional 21st Century Living. I am so glad you joined me tonight. We have James Olson with us, and he is the author of How Whole Brain Thinking Can Save the Future. So, yes, we're talking about the brain, and we're talking about engaging it and moving on. We're not taking calls this hour, so sit back, relax, get your pen and pencil and paper, and take some notes, as this information is going to change your life. The information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. The question is, are you really ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over three decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. Now, my clients say that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. Now, my background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and LinkedIn. Sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living, from my website. And again, that's MoniqueChapman.com. Although we have been told for decades that we only use a small portion of our brain's capacity, it is now known that the entire brain is always active in some way. Yet for most of us, only one of our two brain hemispheres is actually running the show. For a majority of people, the left brain viewpoint serves as our guide. Whole brain thinking can save the future explores the serious crisis we now face because of the left brain bias in our civilization. My guest tonight, James Olson, is an integral philosopher whose studies have included religion, art, psychology, and neuroscience. He has worked most of his life to unify his understanding of material things, ideas, and spiritual energies by eliminating conflicting ideas and embracing those that are in harmony with one another. Following the unifying guidelines of philosophy and drawing on his broad education, which includes a doctorate degree, which includes a degree in business administration, James has made it his mission to bring the planet's masculine dualistic left brain and feminine holistic right brain energies into greater harmony through his advocacy of whole brain thinking. Now, James Olson lives in Oklahoma, and you can find out more about him by visiting his website, and that is thewholebrainpath.com. Again, thewholebrainpath.com. Welcome, James. Welcome to Get Over It.
Well, thanks, Monique. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you with us. Now, what can we learn about the nature of our thoughts and how they affect our decision-making in our lives by looking at the brain?
Well, the brain affects our behavior. Our ideas are filtered through the brain. And the brain itself is laterally split into two hemispheres. And each hemisphere has its own personality, so to speak. The two sides are radically different. They complement one another. What one side does, the other side doesn't do, but it does something different. So together, the two sides give us insights into everything. But if we just use one side of the brain, we're missing out on some things. And we all use both sides to some extent, but because of genetic, the way the genetics are set up, it basically divides us into two kinds of people, those that are primarily guided by their left brain and those who are primarily guided by their right brain. And the two sides are so different that they come into conflict with one another. And that's why we see the conflicts are a major basis for the reasons we see conflicts between the way men and women think and the way conservatives and liberals think, for example. So we can learn a lot by understanding which side of the brain guides us and which side of the brain guides our partner or our working, anyone we're working with. If they use a different side of the brain, they're going to be more difficult to understand.
Okay. Now, is there any truth to, you know, the old adage that if you're left-handed, you're right-brained, and if you're right-handed, you're left-brained?
Yes. But what I found out, and it was actually a major breakthrough in my work, probably the most fundamental breakthrough and the most original breakthrough, is that there are two facets to dominance. There's a dominance for the information that comes in that informs us, and there's a dominance to the way we respond. The way we, what we see and how we respond are two different variables, and these variables are part of who we are. And in some cases, the left brain informs us, and the left brain guides our responses, but in other people, the left brain may guide our the way we see things, guide the intake of information, but the right brain may be in charge of the way we respond to things. That's the outflow of information. This brings up an important point, and that is most men are left brain dominant and most women are right brain dominant for information input. But that caused a conflict when I was first introduced this, because people would say, well, most women are right brain are right-handed. They write with their right hand, so that makes them left brain dominant. So that was confusing, and that still confuses most people, most scientists. But what I realized was that women can be right-handed, thus left-brain dominant, for interacting with the world, but the information they intake is guided by their right brain. Now, that may be a little confusing, but that's a really important point to make.
Okay. Well, the male, the left hemisphere of the brain, it's more linear and directional, and it gives us a more polarized picture. Well, with the female side, it's nonlinear, omnidirectional. It shows us the unity. So in your book, actually pretty early in your book, on page 32, you talk about the different perspectives of the left brain male dominance and the right brain female dominance. What would be, I don't know, maybe three things from each side that we could pinpoint to help our audience further understand how they might be interacting with the world?
Well, the left brain of men, it tends to be sequential, and men are very focused. And the right brain, which guides most women, is processes things simultaneous. So women tend to see the big picture. They see everything at once, and that's what I mean by simultaneous processing. And so women can jump around And sometimes that drives men crazy because they want to take things one at a time sequentially. So that's an example of one of the conflicts between men and women. And men tend to be sensing. They follow their what they're seeing and what they're smelling and so forth. And women are more intuitive. The right brain is intuitive, and so that ties in with the simultaneous. When we get intuition, we get a flash of insight, and we get a big picture. We get an idea that comes all at once. And whereas men tend to have to come to that same conclusion by working things out over time. That's another example. Women and the right brain tend to be connective. They see the connections, having the big picture. And the left brain is separative. It takes things apart and analyzes. So it only sees a part of things at one aspect at a time. And that's why men are so warlike, because war is a response, is a separative response. You want to separate yourself from your enemy. You want to separate your enemy from their life or from their weapons, or you want to put people in prison to separate them from society. That's why men like to use prison as a tool of social change, because that's the way they see things. They just want to separate themselves from their problems, whereas women are more likely to try to find more peaceful ways and try to find connections and find a unity of thought. So those are some examples. I can go on.
No, you've given us some, but answer this question. Now, you said that you wrote this book, How Whole Brain Thinking Can Save the Future, predominantly for men. Why? What was it that a man needed to know?
Well, men have been in charge of the world, and they've set up the learning institutions in the way men think. And so this kind of reinforces the way men think. And women, having this right brain way of looking at things, tend to be taught to think like men. And so we have a culture that is very left brain dominant. And it causes us to try to solve problems the way men solve problems. Again, through the use of war and prison and separation. And women have to learn how to, they innately understand the right brain way of thinking. And so we teach them to think the way men think. So women have both sides of the brain, use both sides of the brain to some extent, but men aren't taught to think like women, except when they, you know, what they learn from their mothers, or when their feminine spouse tries to explain things to them. But men don't understand the right brain, and they don't understand the right brain way of thinking, and we tend to be afraid of what we don't understand. So men tend to often tend to try to suppress the right brain ways of dealing with problems, and so men really need to be taught to understand the right brain so that they can have a better balance and not be so afraid of right brain solutions to problems. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, especially what's going on in our political arena that we'll touch on in a couple of minutes. Now, in your book, The Whole Brain Thinking Can Change the Can Save the Future. Now, this book focuses heavily on the role of perspective in informing us. What is the difference between perspective and perception?
Well, perspective is what we see before we process it through our brain. Two people can have the same perspective. Think in terms of a physical perspective. Two people standing side by side looking in the same direction can have the same, see the same thing, but because of the way they process information, they can come to different conclusions. That often happens in you see that brought out in legal or in courtrooms where two people have observed the same thing, but they have different ways of, they have different understandings. So perception is information that's basically been processed through the brain, whereas perspective is the raw information that the brain gives us.
Okay. It's, you know, the brain is so complex, and it's so very interesting. The way that you work with the brain, your body of work is working with the holistic approach that's, you know, really necessary, I guess, for understanding the thinking brain. I mean, you talk about working, the brain works with physical things and mental things and spiritual or emotional or feeling things. How does all of that come together? I mean, it seems like such a small organ that controls so much.
Well, the brain does that automatically. That's its job. It's designed to do that. So we don't what we need to do as thinkers, as managers of our life, is to just make sure that we are aware that there are these three aspects and that we bring them in to our contemplation, especially when we have something important, we have an important decision to make, because we can end up focusing on the physical aspect of something and forget that it's also having a profound effect on us mentally and on us spiritually. Or you also find people, especially religious zealots, that focus only on spiritual aspects and they don't fully appreciate how it affects our thoughts or how it affects our physical life. The main thing is we just need to be aware that there are these three aspects of reality: the physical, the mental, and the spiritual, and remember to just keep them in the back of our mind, and not forget and not get caught up in one at the expense of the others.
Okay. Well, folks, we're speaking with James Olson. He is the author of How Whole Brain Thinking Can Save the Future. You can find out more about him by visiting his website, thewholebrainpath.com. Again, that's thewholebrainpath.com. James, you have such interesting work going on here. How can understanding the split brain bring a greater sense of inner peace? How does it help the brain dominance in its perspective affect our inner peace?
Well, since the two sides are complements, since they see different things and they do different things, there is a fundamental conflict between them, at least if we don't understand them. Now, when you understand them correctly, being complements, they actually work together. But if you don't understand that, if you're just caught up in your left brain or you're caught up in your right brain and you don't understand the other side, you can easily come to think that the other side, you know, the left brain people don't understand things correctly. Uh-huh. Or if you're left brain, you get to understand that you can believe that the right brain people don't understand things correctly. And so because there's this conflict between the way the two things see, the two sides of the brain see and respond to things, there can be this conflict. And the conflict is resolved once we understand that there is no real conflict there, that it is a conflict in our lack that is caused by our lack of understanding what the other side of the brain is there for, what it's trying to tell us.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. I want to get into politics in a minute, not right now, but this question came up based on what you just said. So we have two political parties in this country. Okay, we have a major political parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. As a whole, and I'm talking group consciousness, could one party be more left brain and the other party be more right brain?
Yes.
Or does it go that deep?
No, okay. That does. That is the brain is the source of our thoughts, and it processes our feelings, and so depending upon which side of the brain is dominant, we have different ways of looking at things. And the left brain is our conservative brain. It takes care of us. It's in charge of our security, and the right brain is our peaceful brain, and it wants to get along. And when we're left brain dominant, we tend to be more conservative, and when we're right brain dominant, we tend to be more liberal, because the right brain sees everything as a whole and sees peace, and it isn't afraid. And so it's more willing to like take in immigrants, because it's not afraid, and it sees them as one of us. So that's the basis of it. Now, of course, we grow up and our culture is the other input of information. So, you know, here we're talking mostly about how our brains affect us, but we're also affected by the brains of others. So If you're a you can be a conservative kid and you grow up in a very liberal household, you may end up being a liberal, and you may join the Democratic Party. And on the other hand, you can be right brain dominant and a natural liberal, but you have been raised in a very conservative culture and in a very conservative family. So you're taught to respond in conservative ways. So in that case, you may tend to identify with the ideas, the general ideas of the Republican parties. And of course, this is very complex, and there are many forces, and we sometimes change as we go through life, as we learn. But the brain is the basis of conservative and liberal, and as we know, Republicans tend to be conservative, and Democrats tend to be more liberal.
Okay, so we're going to get into the politics of it now. Now, folks, we're not talking about our own personal politics. We're talking about politics from the perspective of left brain, right brain. Okay, so I just want to make that clear up front. And if you listen to my shows, you have an idea of where I'm at on the political spectrum, and we don't need to know where James is, because that's his business. So, James, yesterday they had Senate Senate hearings with the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, and he basically decided he wasn't going to answer any of the questions that were presented to him. So we had a mix of, from what I could view and based on the knowledge I gleaned from your book, we had a mix of left brain and right brain people asking questions to someone who, to me, comes across as being left brain. Now, is that a good assessment or no?
Yes, excellent.
Okay. So we have them asking the left brain and the right brain asking a left brain question, and then the left brain decided it wasn't answering the majority of the question. So is that being more, I guess, conservative, or was he truly being liberal in the sense of I'm exercising my right not to play the game with you.
Well, he's being conservative because he wants to take care of himself. Remember, the conservative side of the brain protects us. And so he's not wanting to get into trouble. I mean, none of us do. And but some people put themselves before their country, and too often that's what's happening in our society.
Uh-huh.
But and other people, like an example of the other way around was when James Comey was being asked some questions, he admitted that he leaked. Now, that was not self-protective. He was being honest. He was just saying what happened, and he was being open and truthful, and he wasn't trying to take care of himself. So that was more a right brain response, whereas Jeff Sessions was being very left brain and just taking care of himself.
Okay, so when people lie, is it a left brain occurrence that they lie, or is it a right brain?
It's a left brain, definitely a left brain. The left brain would just, well, I'm saying the same thing, but it's there to take care of us, and it will lie. In fact, there have been lots of split brain research done on this, and the left brain will make up things. If it just has a little bit of information, it will make up things in order to try to make sense, but it's very much it's there to take care of us at the and the truth is secondary.
Okay, so let's move on to the man who occupies the White House. He's known to be a liar. He's known to be bombastic. He's known to be most of the qualities that we wouldn't consider a decent person. Yet and still, he was elected into office. So can we go through cycles as a country of being left-brained or right-brained based on influences?
Well, yes, but especially in politics, when you look at people we have elected in the past, we tend to elect a Republican, and then the Republicans screw up things, and then we elect a Democrat, and the Democrats screw up things, and then we elect a Republican. We go back and forth trying to find some satisfaction from our elected officials, but even liberals, let me say this: our system of that we work within is really set up by left brain men. As I said before, men have set up the institutions of government and learning, and they've set up the political system the way men think, and it's very separative, and you have to fight, as you know, you have to fight to get into politics, and that really supports, I mean, it makes the people who get into power, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, conservatives or liberals, it tends to support those who are selfish and who are fighters, who in other words are left brain dominant. So that's our system is really the thing we need to work on most, and nobody's working on the system. We just go from one crisis to another and try to solve things, and we don't really work on the system. And in fact, the people in power don't want to work on the system because it's going to work against them. It's going to work against their goals, because most people in our government have a tendency towards left brain values, and so they want to keep it that way.
Okay, so we've got a government who's really, or the people in government really looking out for self and self-interest, and then it seems like we're going down a very interesting road at the current time. On the other side of that, we have the populace raising up and coming out and protesting and marches and whatever else. So that would be the right side, right? The feminine side coming out.
Well, you would think that the populace would be the right, and of course, you know, this is we're here when we're talking about this. We're dividing things up very neatly into left brain and right brain, but there mm-hmm. in our politics, there's a mixture of everything, and so populism is right brain in that you care about the masses instead of the individual. And so there's an element of that to the populist movement, that mm-hmm. there's also a lot of, it's just so complex that it's hard to even talk about. But the populist movement was really, in my opinion, an attempt to get rid of to change our system of government, the left mm-hmm. brain, selfish people who don't care about anything except themselves. And mm-hmm. that's really the heart of this movement. But it's been, but since the liberals haven't really followed a populist agenda, it mm-hmm. sort of became the goal of the left brain people, who it's their right brain is saying, hey, we need to fix this government, it's out of shape. And unfortunately, there was only one populist on each side, and on the Democratic side it was Sanders, and on the Republican side it was Trump, and so only the Republicans elected a populist, so he turned out he won. And mm-hmm. and personally, I think if Sanders had been the Democratic nominee, he would have won mm-hmm. because there is this populist movement to try to solve our problems from a more holistic point of view.
Okay. So where could we start if we want to try to bring this polarized culture that we have now? Where can we start to bring it back together utilizing this brain science?
I think we need to recognize that each side has a valuable an essential voice, and that Republicans, as even though they may do some very bad things, have see some truth. So what I'm saying is both sides see the truth in mm-hmm. to a certain degree, and we need to recognize that, and we need to respect each other and try to find the truth within the conservative movement, and conservatives need to find the truth within the liberal movement. But the way it is, we have demonized both sides such that neither side respects the other, and neither side is trying to learn from the other. And to me, that is the fundamental problem. And we just need to have more respect for one another. But at the same time, obviously, there's both sides have serious flaws in the way they go about governing. So It's first of all, to me, a spiritual problem that we don't respect one another the way we should. And the other thing is that we need to fix the system. And that's too much to get into now. I mean, that's a big mm-hmm. problem. But we need to understand that first of all, the systemic problem, and try to get our representatives to address systemic issues rather than being caught up in the problem of the moment.
Okay. So, boy, I had a really good question. I didn't write it down, and now it's left me, so hopefully it comes back. Oh, my goodness. Oh, so we are looking to fix everything. Do you think that having, I guess, more balance overall with left brain, right brain thinking, because both are equally important since we all have a left brain and a right brain, would that come maybe from the bottom up as opposed to the top down in the political arena? So from the bottom up, I'm meaning at the local level and state level, we start electing officials that are, I don't know, a bit more imbalanced?
Yes, absolutely. Then, absolutely. Okay. That's why we need balance. And I want to say one thing really quickly.
Uh-huh.
When you look at consider the left brain and you consider left brain people, you can come to the conclusion that the right brain is superior to the left brain. And that's one of the problems in our culture. And I live in a very conservative area where in the precinct I voted, this blows some of the breeders' mind, voters voted almost 10 to 1 for Trump. So I understand the conservative mind. The conservative, the left side of the brain is there to help us. It has valuable insights, and we need to respect it, and we need to differentiate it from the mistakes that left brain people make. So we need to understand, and left brain people need to respect the right brain people and understand that they have a valuable contribution to make, and that's just not happening. So we need this balance, and we need to understand both sides. But I want to make sure that we don't demonize the left side of the brain. You can demonize some of the left brain people, like the president, who is really a good example of what happens when the left brain is left to run free without the moderating influence of the right brain.
Mm-hmm.
So in one sense, this may be a good thing. Maybe it'll wake up people to the excesses of the left brain. But if it just turns into a demonization of the left brain, it's just going to keep us in trouble.
Okay. So are you of the belief that our brain as a society has developed stronger, say, over the last, I don't know, 100 years?
Well, we have become more and more polarized, and I think there's a extreme to this polarization where we step back and it becomes so obvious that we have become extremely left brain that we say, hey, we've gone to the extreme and we need to back off and we need to go the other way, but we need to not go to the excess of the right brain, because that will also have its own problems. And we need to understand that we really need this balance. We need to use both sides of our brain in a respectful, intelligent way.
Okay, so I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about the personal benefits of utilizing the whole brain. How can an understanding of the brain hemispheres help men better understand women and promote peace between the sexes? I mean, John Gray, you know, is famous for writing what men are from Mars and women are from Venus. So how can we integrate these two energies for understanding on both sides? I mean, men to women, but there's some women out there who really need to understand men.
Yes, well, that's why I wrote the book. And really, John Gray touches on this in a very superficial way, if I may categorize it as such. And I go into very deeply looking at the qualities of the left and the right brain. And that, so women need to understand the left brain, mm-hmm. and men need to understand the right brain in order for us to understand one another, because we do come from these two different sides, the Venus and Mars, and the only way we're going to bridge this gap is to understand where the other person is coming from, what they're seeing, how they're seeing life differently, and understand that how they respond is a function of the difference in the way they're seeing our world and mm-hmm. seeing events unfold. So, read my book. I mean, I don't want to just be a salesman here, but that's really what needs to happen. You need to understand what the purpose of the left brain is and what the purpose of the right brain is, and to mm-hmm. use them as they're meant to be, as complements. Use them in harmony.
Okay. And this is a little delicate subject, but I am going to bring it up. What impact does brain dominance have on religion? I mean, you've got, you know, different types of religion. You've got the fundamentalist, you've got, you know, the staunch Baptist, you've got the AMEs, you've got the Catholics, you've got the Protestants, you have the Muslims, you have whatever. How does the brain affect that? And then secondary to that, is it the same for spirituality? And I'm not putting spirituality and religion in the same bucket, okay? I'm putting them separate. So how does the brain dominance affect the religion? And because in my opinion, religion is all about control. So for me, that would be left brain, as I understand
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you asked this, because we it's ironic that the left brain is about separation and protection and divisions and control, and so we have, and that's just the opposite of what spirituality is about and what religion should be about. The right brain is the brain of peace. It's the brain of making connections and getting together and unifying, and we have men, left brain men, running this organization, and it's just crazy. It's the perfect place for women to be. We should have women running our spiritual institutions, mm-hmm. and men have set up the system to where they won't even let women in. And that's it's a controlling function, and they teach us to not read each other's holy books. They mm-hmm. they only want you to read your own book. That's a separatist act, separative mm-hmm. act, and it keeps us separate. And it's just so ironic that men are in charge of religion and that they keep women out of it. And it's, you know, if we're going to start anywhere, even to overhaul our political system, it should start with religion. And the women of this country should demand that women are allowed to have access to the highest levels of spiritual teachings, and you mm-hmm. ask about spiritual and religion. Religion is just men's attempts to control the spiritual, our spiritual lives. Spirit is about feeling, and it's love based. It's about getting together, and it doesn't have anything to do with religion. Religion's just. Mm-hmm. just man's attempt to control the spiritual aspects of life.
Okay. Boy, we've got so much growing, so much learning to do. It's truly amazing. Now, earlier we talked about, females and how they are and males how they are. What about, the LGBTQ community? How does the dominant hemisphere, I guess, determine the sexual preference? Or does it?
Yes, it does. We have it's been popularly known that the left side is masculine and the right side is feminine, and science has never proved this. And in my book, I put a lot of science together and show that the left brain is masculine, gives us our masculine qualities, and the right brain gives us our feminine qualities. And I've also found out that, and a lot of people know that it's more than that. I mean, there's a kind of a reaction against that, masculine, feminine, because people are understanding that there's more than a masculine and a feminine type. And what I discovered is through genetics, the right brain and the left brain can be combined into a hybrid, which gives a few people a hybrid left brain, right brain way of seeing life, and it gives us a hybrid gender. And then there's also a way of that genetic dominance can cause some people to be both right brain and left brain. They're not one or the other. They're both. And when you're both, that makes you bisexual, because your right brain is attracted to males and the left brain is attracted to the female body, so that creates bisexuals. So there's and then this hybrid is really variable, and so this creates a wide range of gender types. And so and then as I said, most males are left brain dominant, but they're not all males are left brain dominant. So if a male body has a right brain dominance, he has this feminine view of life, and so that makes him attracted to the same type of people that most women are attracted to. So that makes him attracted to men. So when we have a reversal in brain dominance, that creates homosexuality. So it's just really interesting. And in my book, and on you can even go into my website, there's a chart there that shows the variations caused by left brain dominance, right brain dominance, and the hybrids, and the combination. And it actually creates 16 different gender types for males and 16 gender types for females. So there are 32 variations in gender that are created by the different combinations, depending upon what you inherit genetically.
Okay. So, folks, you can look at that information at thewholebrainpath.com. Again, that's thewholebrainpath.com. So, based on the information that you have shared with us, does this mean that people who believe that hormonal or environmental factors affect sexuality, is that basically out of the window?
No, we don't really know what causes this brain dominance, and I think that hormonal factors probably do determine our brain dominance, and our environment can also affect our hormones. So it may be that the environment affects our hormones, and the hormones affect our brain dominance. So I haven't ruled out anything, but it's clear that the brain dominance is the factor that we can clearly pinpoint at this point.
Okay. Now, it's not uncommon to hear the suggestion that sex begins in the brain. So, do you why do you think that the scientists have been so focused on genes and hormones and to understand the sexuality rather than the brain functions itself?
Well, scientists tend to focus on, they tend to be male, and they tend to be analytical because the left side of the brain is analytical. And the analytical process is to take things apart, to look inside and see what makes things work. And in order to understand what is going on in the brain, we need to start putting things together. And that's what I've done. I have put a bunch of science together and tried to find the big picture, tried to find the holistic view of science. And anyway, scientists have been too focused on various individuals and on the modules of the brain, and the answers to our big questions lie in the big picture.
Okay, so we are getting, near the end of our time together this evening, and I do appreciate your time and the wonderful information that you are sharing with us. What could be one takeaway that, the layperson could take from our conversation, number one, to help themselves have a deeper understanding, and number two, to get them to go out and buy this wonderful book, How the Whole Brain Thinking Can Change the Future, Save the Future. I don't know why I keep saying change. Maybe it will change the future one day, but at least Save the Future is the title of your book.
Well, I think the important thing we need to understand is there are two ways of seeing things, and that these two ways get combined both in our heads and in our experience and in our culture and in the information that's coming into us from our culture. So it's a very complex mixture, but it all starts with the two sides of the brain and the two ways of seeing things. And understand that they're really complements, that they are intended to work together, and they can work together. And when they work together in the way that they're supposed to work together, and they produce the results that we hope for. So understand that there are these two, and try to understand what that is, what that means to you, and which side of the brain is guiding your behavior. And once you understand that you're right brain, then you need to understand the left brain. You need to try to find out what you're missing by not understanding the right brain. And if you're the left brain, and if you're left brain dominant, understand that you need to understand what you're missing by not understanding your right brain.
Okay. And thank you so much for that information. Now, when folks visit your website, thewholebrainpath.com, besides that beautiful chart that you told us about earlier, what else will they find there?
Well, I have several articles that I've written, and sometimes I think I'm a better writer than I am a speaker. So there's some really good articles in there, and one that I particularly like is I wrote an article on the divine feminine, and it was really, I felt inspired, and I'd like you to read that. There's a list of articles there, and it's the third one down about the divine feminine, and there's articles there about sacred geometry. Some of your readers may be interested in sacred geometry. There's one on politics, and that's the main thing. Read. They're just short articles. They're like 900 words. They're a couple pages in a magazine. They're articles that I've written for magazines, and they've been heavily edited and approved. And so read those.
Okay, so, folks, you have this wonderful opportunity with the free information on the website, thewholebrainpath.com, to truly get out there and explore and learn and expand your horizons. And that is something that James Olson definitely does in his book, How Whole Brain Thinking Can Save the Future. It's available, I think, on his website and, of course, you know, at all the booksellers. And if you don't see it where you're looking, ask for it and they can order it for you. James, I want to thank you for your time this evening. It's been wonderful. I truly appreciate the depth of information that you shared with us and it, with the ease and grace that you shared it also.
Well, thank you, Monique. It was a really real pleasure, and I really appreciate you having me on your show, and I thank the listeners for hanging in there.
Okay, no problem. And thank you, the listeners, for being with us this evening as we collectively get over it. I am truly honored, and I appreciate your time and attention. When you're ready to live a more balanced life, give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the radio show. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and then make the call. That number is 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Make the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.